And Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you, Rasulullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Like Muhammad from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to shed light on some of the characteristics of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn from his detailed behavior and way of living in order for us to take lessons out of these details and follow him as perfect Muslims. Well, in the previous episode of Like Muhammad, we talked about some general habits of our Holy Prophet for eating. Today in this episode, our subject of talk is about some detailed habits and etiquette of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in eating. You know, in Islam and the lifestyle of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are etiquettes of eating which could be categorized in the way that we are going to talk about. You know, first we are going to talk about the habits of Prophet before eating. You know, the first was washing the hands before eating. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the importance of cleanliness and hygiene, including during meals. He would wash his hands before and after eating and encourage others to do the same. A second habit was mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before eating with saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim when starting to eat. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When any one of you eats, let him mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he forgets to mention the name of Allah at the beginning, then let him say Bismillah awwalahu wa akhiruhu, in the name of Allah at the beginning and at the end." Another prayer before getting started to eat is this: "O Allah, bless us in it and provide us with better than it. Whomever Allah has given milk to drink should say, O Allah, bless us in it and give us more of it." These expressions of gratitude and remembrance acknowledge that food is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why it has been so much emphasized. Okay, now let's go for a short break and we will be back in no time.
حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلوا عليه وآله.
Welcome back to your audience. You are listening to Like Muhammad from iRabe English Radio, today we are talking about some details of the habits of eating of our dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You know, the first habit that Muslims are supposed to do following the great Prophet is to eat with the right hand. You know, it is highly recommended for the Muslims to eat with their right hand. However, if a person is not able to eat and drink with his right hand due to some excuses such as sickness, injury, etc., then there is nothing wrong with him if he eats with his left hand. Another habit is eating from what is directly in front of one. You know, it is sunnah for a person to eat from the food that is directly in front of him or her, and not reach out to take food that is directly in front of others or from the middle of the platter. The Prophet ﷺ said to one of his companions, "O young boy, say Bismillah, eat with your right hand and eat from what is directly in front of you." The Prophet ﷺ also encouraged taking small bites and chewing food thoroughly. This aids in digestion and promotes mindful eating. A third habit is eating a piece of food that falls on the floor. You know, if a piece of food falls on the floor, then the person eating should remove any dirt that gets onto it and eat it. He should not leave it for the shaitan, for he does not know where the blessing is in his food. It may be in the piece that fell, and leaving it makes a person miss out the blessings of the food. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that regard, when one of you finishes eating, he should not wipe his fingers until he has licked them himself. Anas ibn Malik, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, narrated that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, he would lick his three fingers. And he said, if any one of you drops a piece of food, let him remove any dirt from it and eat it, and not leave it for the shaitan. And he recommended us to clean the plate and said, for you do not know where in your food the blessing is. One fourth habit during eating the food is not reclining while eating. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I do not eat while I am reclining. And one last habit is not to blow on food or drinks. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised against blowing on hot food or drinks to cool them down. Instead, one should wait for them to naturally cool or use utensils to stir or mix them. Okay, let's go for a short break and we will be back in no time.
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك
Welcome back to your audience. You are listening to Like Muhammad from IRB English Radio. We are talking about some of the eating habits of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Washing the hands after eating is the thing that has been highly emphasized by him. The sunnah may be done by washing with water only. So washing the hands is recommended act both before and after eating, even if a person has wudu. And this is very important. Another etiquette for finishing is praying or supplicating for one's host. It is sunnah to recite the words of praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dua after one has finished eating. When he had finished eating, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fih, ghayra mukfi wala mudi'a, wala mustaghni an rabbana. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise which is abundant, pure and full of blessings, which is indispensable and to which one cannot be indifferent. The etiquette of eating also includes eating with a group, not speaking about things that are haram while eating, eating with one's wives and children, not keeping a particular food to oneself unless there is a reason for that, such as it being for medical purposes. Rather, one should offer the best food to others first, such as pieces of meat and soft or good bread. If the guest has had enough and stops eating, his host should say "eat" and repeat it so long as he does not think that his guest has had enough. Of course, there is one more point here to mention, and that is not condemning the food. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is narrated to never condemn or criticize any food. If he liked it, he would eat it, and if he did not like it, he would leave it. This also teaches us to follow principles of politeness in the presence of a host and not to criticize food for its quality. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode of Like Muhammad has come to its end. Thank you very much for being with us today. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
In late August, BRICS leaders met for their annual summit in Johannesburg, South Africa. Perhaps the most significant moment of the summit came when Iran was introduced as a new member, a country that has been under the heaviest of sanctions in recent years, and a country the West claims to have been isolated both politically and economically. But why did Iran apply for BRICS? Why did BRICS agree to admit it? How can the economic bloc and Iran benefit from each other? And what messages has Tehran sent to its sworn enemies?
Whereas the West has been trying to downplay the role of BRICS in international arena, the facts on the ground are indicative of an emerging world order with a paradigm shift towards the global south. In addition to Iran, five other countries, such as Argentina, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates will officially join the group in January 2024. Meanwhile, 23 other countries have also applied for the membership. But why do these countries want to join the BRICS?
The acronym BRICS includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The bloc was founded as an informal club in 2009 to provide a platform for its members to challenge a world order dominated by Washington and its Western allies. Apart from geopolitics, BRICS' major focus is on economic cooperation and multilateral trade and development. The BRICS founding members hold several records. Russia, China, Brazil, and India are among the top seven biggest countries in the world. Three out of five largest armies belong to BRICS. China and India are two BRICS countries, each with a population of more than 1 billion. BRICS accounts for more than 40% of the world population, a quarter of the global economy, and one-third of the surface of the Earth. Among giants like China, Russia, and India, South Africa seems to be like a dwarf. But the fact is, the country is the second biggest economy in Africa and the sixth biggest country in terms of size and population in the continent. South Africa has also the third biggest army in Africa.
You know that all countries across the world are looking for political, economic, and military partners. Basically, it's impossible to solve your problems in the international arena without partners and allies.
This is Sayyid Mahmoud Reza Sajjadi, former Iranian ambassador to Moscow. Mr. Sajjadi said BRICS is in essence an alliance against U.S. unilateralism.
The BRICS nations, including Russia, China, India, Brazil, and South Africa, are among the most populated countries across the world with huge amounts of potential and capabilities. A decade ago or so, these countries decided to form a front against American unilateralism so as to clear hurdles on their way towards economic progress.
Mr. Sajjadi believes BRICS should be happy to have Iran in its camp, as the country can increase the group's military prowess.
In what ways is Iran joining the BRICS significant and important?
Today, Iran is considered as a nation that has long stood up against the Western hegemony. It's regarded as the leader of the resistance movement. So I think that BRICS is happy to have the Islamic Republic on its side. I would like to say something here. A few days before Iran attacked Ain al-Assad, former US President Trump had warned that if the Iranians do something against the Americans, he would attack 51 areas of Iran. Iran attacked, but Trump did nothing in retaliation. This means we are not afraid of American threats at all. This military power has just joined the BRICS nations. In addition, Iran has a great population and economic potential. I think it's a good omen that Iran has joined BRICS.
With the recent expansions, BRICS, or BRICS Plus as some may call it, now accounts for almost 46% of the global population. Adding high population growth countries like Ethiopia means BRICS could soon represent over half the world's population. The global share of BRICS GDP will be 29%, while with the addition of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Iran, its oil production will make up for 43% of the world production. BRICS member states are among the biggest producers of goods and among the major exporters of raw materials. BRICS is also important in terms of having huge, different natural resources, including rare earth elements. For example, Argentina, a new member, is a major producer of lithium, a critical metal for the clean energy transition. Moreover, BRICS members are home to cheap labor, crucial for producing competitive commodities. This is Kambiz Mirkarimi, Vice Chairman of Iran-Russia Joint Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Mirkarimi told us BRICS will give the Islamic Republic an extra bargaining chip in the international arena.
Do you think that joining the BRICS would decrease or perhaps eliminate the impact of sanctions for Iran?
There is no doubt that the more economic alliances Iran joins, the more bargaining chips the country will have in the face of those who impose sanctions. Without economic leverage, you cannot gain much in negotiations with your enemies. Even when you are involved in negotiations with private sectors, there are times your talks come to a standstill. But with more power and presence in the world market, you can go ahead with fewer interruptions.
At the core of the BRICS lies a serious intention to alter the post-World War II order in favor of a multipolar world. Washington's addiction with financial sanctions and its warmongering and scant, if any, respect for the billions of lives in the global south are only some of the reasons for the growing disenchantment with the prevailing international system.
The former Iranian ambassador to Moscow believes that sanctions are no longer a cause for much concern.
Look, I see the matter this way. Today, we are no longer affected by sanctions, and with our own capabilities, we can sidestep sanctions. Now we have to figure out how we can help our 25 countries that are under sanctions. Today, things have changed for us. We are no longer afraid if we don't accede to FATF demands, if US sanctions are not going to be lifted. Once they told us that we would have to import water from abroad, but you know things have changed, and all these threats are now threadbare.
The Islamic Republic's entry to BRICS was a clear message from Tehran that the so-called crippling sanctions and maximum pressure have failed to isolate the Iranian nation. The main BRICS nations, that is Russia and China, which like Iran are under a slew of sanctions imposed by the U.S. camp, admitted Iran among the first new members, a success story which debunks the myth of Iran's isolation. BRICS leaders recently supported Iran's right to its peaceful nuclear program, hoping for a final agreement between Iran and the P5 plus one group.
There are several certain positive perspectives through BRICS. And the first one, I think, basically relates to the fact that the world is experiencing an emergence of a new world order. And Iran is supposed to be compatible with this new world order. And considering the fact that in this new world order, we see a multipolar system.
To know more about this, we talked to Mr. Tohid Asadi, an Iranian political expert. To Mr. Asadi, the unsuccessful experience of the JCPOA, or the Iran nuclear deal, prompted the Raisi administration to look for economic solutions in non-Western alliances.
The truth of the matter is that getting into such alliances, such associations as BRICS, would certainly open up new fronts for the Iranian economy, which has been suffered from so many sanctions imposed on the country by Western and in particular the American economic system. And then the second point is that Iran is currently speaking, after President Raisi came to the office, opened a new front in its foreign policy agenda. Considering the fact that they spent more than a decade on talks with West, and the result of which was JCPOA signed and sealed back in 2015 as a UN Security Council resolution. But the result is that regardless of all these attempts by Iran, we received almost nothing in return, regardless of our full commitment to the deal. So it provided a certain foreign policy perspective among not only Iranian political elites, but also among the public that this trajectory of putting trust with the West and talks with countries like the United States is not something that could serve the benefits of the country.
By supporting countries which have been under unfair sanctions imposed by the United States and its ilk, BRICS is in fact trying to make these economic pressures ineffectual. And this has unnerved the West.
Do you think that the U.S. is dissatisfied with the fact that Iran is going to join the BRICS Association?
I'm strongly convinced that emergence of such blocs and expansion of BRICS, Iran's entrance to BRICS, these are all indicative of the fact that the world is changing and the United States is not happy about this change, because it's just going to diminish the American hegemony over global economy, global politics, local politics even in some extent. And there are so many other instances clearly indicating this fact.
Following the annexation of Crimea by the Russian Federation in 2014, Moscow's trade interactions with the Group of Seven went down by 36%. That's while Russia's trade with the BRICS nations had 121% growth, without which the Russians would have experienced hard times. The Russia case has caused a great number of countries to consider BRICS as a way out of the West's clout. This has prompted even countries such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to join the group, despite their seemingly close ties with the West. That said, political advantages are not the only perks of the BRICS membership.
Welcome to the news section of the program, where we will go over some news excerpts from different news websites, starting with The Guardian. BRICS to more than double with admission of six new countries. From the beginning of next year, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Argentina, the UAE, and Ethiopia will join the current five members, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. China's President Xi Jinping described the expansion as historic. He had been the leading proponent of the admission of new members, presenting an enlarged BRICS as a way for the Global South to have a stronger voice in world affairs. According to The Guardian, the decision to admit Iran, also looking for a way to sidestep sanctions, represented a win for Putin and Xi, helping give the group a more anti-Western tinge. Middle East Eye has ran this headline. Iran, can the BRICS help Tehran break free from Western sanctions? Applying to join BRICS was viewed as a strategic decision by Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi's government. This government appears to take a pragmatic and realistic view of the economic potential of the BRICS bloc rather than seeking to exploit this alliance for domestic political gains. According to the Middle East Eye, beyond the rhetoric, Iran has publicly backed the de-dollarization program of BRICS, aiming to develop its trade ties with the emerging powers of the Global South, while moving away from American dominance over the world's financial institutions. Continuing negotiations to remove or reduce Western sanctions, along with talks among BRICS members to create mechanisms and transparent rules for financial transactions, are essential prerequisites for Iran to convert BRICS into a flourishing platform to pursue its goals. According to Time magazine, BRICS asks Saudi, Iran, other nations to join to add heft. According to Time, major emerging market nations invited top oil exporter Saudi Arabia, Iran, Egypt, Argentina, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates to join their bloc in a push to expand its global influence. An expanded BRICS would also mean more say for the alliance in world affairs and may lead to a different type of global economy, according to Bloomberg Economics. That's because in comparison to the Group of Seven, the BRICS are less market-oriented. This brings us to the end of this section. Please stay tuned as we go back to our main narrative. Since its foundation, BRICS has sought seriously to become a reliable financial and monetary institution and to serve a counterpart for other Western-dominated organizations such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. BRICS New Development Bank has been founded for this purpose. The bank can help Iran and Russia, two countries that have been banned from major financial service providers such as the Belgium-based SWIFT.
This is Hassan Mahfouzi of the Muqawemati Economy Think Tank.
One of the main advantages for countries joining the BRICS, especially countries such as Iran that are under sanctions, is to receive banking services from the New Development Bank. Could you please explain more?
The New Development Bank, NDB, finances infrastructural projects. If you look at the projects for which the NDB has granted loans, you'll find out that the majority of these projects have to do with transportation infrastructure, transit of goods, and things like that. Then you'll see financial assistance urgently given to counter the COVID-19 pandemic. Then projects in the field of IT, social relations, school building, renewable energies, and the like, in various fields. And the BRICS countries, Iran included, need to invest in all these various fields. As the leader pointed out in his recent speech, We need foreign investment. The BRICS New Development Bank is one of the ways for foreign capital to enter the country.
Governments' desire to liberate themselves from reliance on the U.S. dollar is nothing new. Murmurs in foreign capitals to dethrone the dollar have been in the air since the 1960s. But they have never been serious until quite recently. This time, as Foreign Policy put it a few months ago, a BRICS currency could shake the dollar's dominance. Mr. Mahfouzi told us that in theory, de-dollarization is quite possible, though it might not happen overnight.
One of the aims of the BRICS countries is to expand trade in local currencies, thereby challenging the power of the dollar in international trade. To what extent do you think this objective and this aim is feasible and attainable?
Look, in bilateral agreements and bilateral trade interactions, you can bypass U.S. sanctions. You can define your own financial and business tools yourself. What Iran and Russia are doing right now, or what the two neighboring countries of India and Bangladesh are doing. In the case of India and Bangladesh, they came to the agreement to trade with their own national currencies and not through dollar-based systems. The question is, why are countries taking such de-dollarization measures? These countries know that if they call for their independence from the U.S. hegemony, they might face U.S. sanctions. As a result, they're trying to formulate their own financial systems free from the dominance of the dollar.
BRICS leaders have all been trying to shatter the dominance of the dollar with a BRICS-issued currency. The BRICS nations, at least on the scale of GDP, collectively outweigh not only the United States, but the entire G7 weight class put together. If the long-awaited de-dollarization happened, it would be a new lease of life for Iran. Mr. Asadi believes that the de-dollarization is not a mirage, something just out of reach, given a new understanding in the world economy.
Do you think that BRICS can challenge the existing world order, basically dominated by the U.S. and the West Bloc?
Just a couple of months ago, the Iranian president paid a visit to Indonesian capital, Jakarta, and there, the two countries agreed to use local currencies in their trade. Iran is under sanction, we all know about that, but Indonesia does not have that much problem, not like Iran's problems, with the United States. But such a country is ready to jeopardize its economic situation, its ties with the West, to open up new front with Iran. There is this emerging understanding in Asia, in Africa, and elsewhere, in Latin America and other parts of the world, regarding this changing nature of world economy. And one of the first consequences out of this ongoing change is that we are going to observe less dollar, and we are going to see less hegemony of the United States and the West, and we are going to see a certainly multipolar system in the world.
Iran's membership in the BRICS is a win-win situation. The country lies at the heart of BRICS as it is situated at the crossroads of Europe, Asia, and Africa. It owns vast oil and gas resources and numerous mines. It also has a robust defense system and seeks to defend the security of the region and is also against the interference in regional affairs. All of these can help the BRICS alliance thrive.
Cheap, fast, and safe transition networks are of paramount importance to BRICS as a primarily economic group of nations. Iran, along with India and Russia, are already developing the International North-South Transport Corridor, a 7,200 kilometers long multi-mode network of ship, rail, and road routes for moving freight from India to Europe and vice versa, with Iran in the center.
And one of the important aspects of BRICS is a safe, cost-effective, and fast transit. What role do you think Iran would play in this regard?
Look, Iran and the Middle East in general are known for their great transit locations, situated between the East and the West. In this regard, Iran's location is quite prominent. We have access to free waters, We have direct access to dozens of countries around the Caspian Sea in the north and the Persian Gulf countries in the south. Part of the international north-south transport corridor passes through Iran. So does part of China's Belt and Road Initiative. So Iran is at the intersection of two important transit routes, the international north-south transport corridor and the Belt and Road Initiative.
Iran is an important link in China's Belt and Road Initiative, a global infrastructure development strategy adopted by Beijing in 2013. The world's factory can export its products to the Middle East and Europe through the shortest, cheapest, and safest routes that Iran can provide. On the other hand, the Asian Dragon can easily import its required raw materials from the Middle East, again through Iran. Moreover, Iran, along with Saudi Arabia, are among the top BRICS members that can meet the growing energy-related needs of the rest of the group. When all is said and done, BRICS is faced with its own challenges. The heterogeneous nature of the group, with different political systems and financial infrastructures which span across the five continents, make unity among its members a delicate and difficult task. For example, geopolitical disputes between China and India can spin out of control. Or some members may not agree with what Russia is doing in the Ukraine war. Or India and South Africa, as two BRICS members, are not willing to take an anti-Western pose. These are all tricky issues to deal with, and as a result have made BRICS a rather negative coalition of states that may not agree on a common position, but can create a consensus on what they oppose. Despite their differences, BRICS member states have made it clear that they all oppose sanctions, protectionist measures, and the post-World War II order. More and more countries are now shifting camps to the benefits of the emerging economies and powers that have proved so far to care more about developing nations by helping them survive and thrive.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, we're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Farahzad. Stay tuned. In a part of Ayah 83 of Surah Al-Baqarah, we read, Speak kindly to people. If we think and then we talk, we will establish good relations with the people around. Kind words and sweet language can strengthen the bonds in the family. This means that inside the family, if we want to have good relations with others, we must use good words. Even the most difficult problems can be solved through good language.
یه معبر دیگر خواست گفت من یه همچین خواب وحشتناک همه دندونام ریخته گفت قبل عالم این تعبیرش خیلی قشنگه.
Once a king had a dream that all his teeth were fallen off. All the interpreters said that this dream means that the king will lose all of his close relatives and family members. Among them, there was only one interpreter who said that this dream means that the king's life is longer than the others around him. In other words, he said the same content but through different words. Therefore, even the saddest news can be conveyed through kind words, and this will establish calmness in the hearts. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Farhasad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
An-Naqi means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the Imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi'a al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaw.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness,
the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was this beautiful fountainhead of wisdom and knowledge. He had complete mastery over all of the Islamic sciences, but he was also a master upon the non-Islamic sciences. He was the honorable direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. And His Eminence Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th divinely appointed Imam, the 10th divinely appointed successor, and the 10th divinely appointed trustee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. During the imamah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, the Abbasid Caliph Mutawakkil had the most bitter enmity against Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And this was due to the special respect and honor that was given to Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Mutawakkil Abbasi imposed a severe house arrest upon the 10th divinely appointed Imam. He monitored all his activities, he pinpointed his followers, and prevented legal dues from coming to Imam al-Hadi. He even tried his best to prevent scholars and narrators from associating with the divinely appointed Imam. Unfortunately, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam suffered a lot during the reign of Mutawakkil Abbasi.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jama'atul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's Prophet, and the progeny of Allah's Messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, there's this very interesting dialogue about Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, the 10th divinely appointed Imam from the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Now, we find that the Khilafa and the leadership position of the Muslims had been taken over by individuals who were not at the peak of a political spirituality or ethical or moral virtues or religious spirituality for that matter. These individuals who had taken the reins of the Muslim Ummah, whether they were the Umayyad dynasty or they were the Abbasid dynasties, both of whom were monarchies. In reality, they were not divinely appointed leaders or successors of the Messenger of Allah. But these individuals, both in the Umayyad dynasty and in the Abbasid dynasty, these were individuals who were, they were not very moral or ethical people. Matter of fact, the amount of sins and moral and ethical corruption and decadence that is found in their own lives is really very antithetical to Islam, and it is the opposite of Islamic teachings and the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. So this is what the situation was, to the point where there's this very famous poet whose name is Abu Firas al-Hamdani. He says, while talking about the Abbasids, that until the dawn, in your houses can be heard music and singing. Now, again, he's talking about the Abbasids here, but what's interesting is that when talking about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and when talking about Imam al-Hadi alayhi as-salam, and in general the Ahlul Bayt, he says that recitation of the Holy Quran is heard in their houses until the dawn. And as we had just said when talking about the Abbasids, he says, and in your houses, music and singing. So it's really interesting, in this one conversation, we find that these individuals were talking about this same issue, and they had said how the Abbasids are indulged in all of these different kind of sins, which were completely against the teachings of Islam. I mean, completely against the teachings of Islam. We cannot emphasize that enough. And then the other individual, he said, you know, what's really beautiful is that we have not seen a worshiper or a person as devout or as pious like Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And the other individual began to say that how Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he offers even all of the nafila prayers, the recommended prayers, the supererogatory prayers, and how Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he has these beautiful du'as which he recites, and these very beautiful recommended supplications that he supplicates, and how generous he is and how charitable he is, and all of his moral and ethical qualities. They begin to talk to each other about these aspects of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. And so really in this conversation we find two things. One, that we are, if we are the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then we have to stay away from as many sins as possible. Sure, sometimes it's difficult to abstain from sins, but we must abstain as much as possible from sins. And on the other hand, the people around us must consider us to be devout, pious, good people, righteous people, and noble people. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
in the limelight.
Inflation continues to tighten its grip on Western Europe as monthly consumer prices register an unprecedented rise, soaring over 14% in the UK and surpassing 10% in Germany. This harsh reality has been amplified by instances where retailers have been found guilty of disproportionately increasing prices, independent of their foundational costs. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote, inflation continues to rage in Western Europe, with monthly consumer prices soaring by over 14% in the UK and more than 10% in Germany, according to a Nikkei report. Some retailers have been hiking prices out of proportion with their underlying costs, it claimed. Roughly 50% of price increases in the region resulted from local companies passing higher costs on to consumers, the outlet estimated. Consumption has slumped across the region as price increases have outpaced wage growth. Nikkei cited an analysis of annual results from 70 European food retail and manufacturing companies by the management consultancy Oliver Wyman, which reportedly found that absolute EBITDA, that is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortization, rose by 11% at food retailers and 12% at manufacturers in 2022 compared to the previous year. That growth was mostly driven by increased revenues. Rainer Munich, partner at Oliver Wyman, was quoted as saying, companies in the food sector viewed the inflation context as an opportunity to review their price management. According to the IMF data cited by Nikkei, growth in corporate profits accounted for 45% of inflation in Europe last year, higher than the 40% attributed to the higher cost of imports. A survey of households by the European Commission reportedly found the perceived rate of inflation over the past year has risen to 26% among low-income families, the highest in 20 years. Earlier this year, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey accused domestic retailers of driving greedflation, claiming that certain businesses were overcharging customers as millions of families struggle to make ends meet. The BOE has also warned that British households and businesses need to accept that they are worse off and should stop asking for wage increases and pushing prices higher. Surging inflation, which has been crippling the British economy, may be slow, but food will remain more expensive than before the cost of living crisis, the Bank of England's chief economist, Hugh Peel, has warned. Official figures show that food inflation in the world's 10th largest economy in terms of purchasing power parity, that is PPP, remained stubbornly high at 17.3% in the 12 months to June. Peel was quoted as saying by Sky News recently, unfortunately, the days of seeing food prices fall, that does seem to be something that we may not be seeing for a little while yet, if in the future at all. According to the leading economist, the impact on food prices in the UK has been a little bit more long-lasting than would have been expected. Peel cited uncertainty over the supply chain for staples such as wheat and sunflower oil as a result of the Russia-Ukraine crisis and Western sanctions on Russia, which has increased the cost of raw materials and basic food.